Hey KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
It's the weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Let's go through all the deets. You want to send me a text message, you text the word Mike, M-I-K-E, to 57739, 57739. You can always email me, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. And if you'd like to follow me on my morning drive show here in Denver, you can do that by simply going to the michaelbrownshow.com. You go to that website, you'll find all the social media platforms. You ought to follow me on Twitter and Facebook. You know, every once in a while on Twitter, I'm one of these, I'm kind of like Pigpen in the Charlie Brown series. I just kind of go in and have a little dust trail following me wherever I go, because I see the just absolute sometimes dumbassery that appears on social media, and I can't resist. I can't resist like jumping into the middle of it, lobbing a bomb, and then kind of stepping back and watching everybody fight. So if you want to watch that sometimes, just follow me on Twitter, at Michael Brown USA. I'll save you the time of going to look. It's at Michael Brown USA. So I feel like I need to introduce myself a few times until we get further down into the program. But I host a morning drive show. I've been on radio for 15 years now. I host a morning drive program here in Denver on 630 KHEL. I'm broadcasting from our local affiliate for the weekend here in Denver on Freedom 93.7, Real News, Real Talk, where I also do news commentary throughout the week. And I'm the former Undersecretary of Homeland Security for President George W. Bush, served him for almost 6 years. I'm a lawyer by training, although I haven't practiced law in about 20 years, because I was doing politics, working in D.C., and, of course, then doing radio. And you may know me by that infamous line that President Bush said to me during Hurricane Katrina: "You're doing a heck of a job, Brownie." You know, I told somebody, I was talking to a friend the other day. We had had a mutual friend pass away. And I said, I told my kids that, you know, your dad never expected to be in the obituary of the New York Times. But someday I will be. Someday I'll be out of here. And the New York Times will write an obituary, and it won't be nice. It'll be nasty. And you might as well just get ready for that. And, of course, then the Washington Post will pick it up, and they'll say something, too. And in that obituary, somewhere it's going to be, "You're doing a heck of a job, Brownie." I'll be dead, and they'll be saying that. But you know what? It is what it is. And I'm having a fantastic time. I have a great life. I have a lot of fun. And I'm a smartass. And I hope as we evolve this program that you will learn to, well, deal with my sarcasm, because I can be pretty sarcastic. I guess I'm saying that because if I want you to think about this. Now, I don't care what you think about Donald Trump. I don't care whether you think he was the greatest president since sliced bread. I don't care whether you think he was the worst president since, you know, sliced bread. I just don't care. Because you love him, you hate him, or you're indifferent. And I find it difficult to believe that some people are indifferent. You either love him or hate him. I'll tell you where I am. Where I am is, I think his policies were fantastic. He was the bull in the China closet. And having spent 6 years in the deepest bowels, like in the I spent 6 years in the large intestine of the federal government. That's where I was. Yeah. And I got to see, I've been involved in politics since I was 6 years old. Literally 6 years old. That's when my parents were involved in a gubernatorial race where I grew up in Oklahoma, and I was out campaigning with the Republican guy that eventually became governor of the first Republican governor of Oklahoma. So I do have some bona fides. I really do. So regardless of what you think about Trump, which I think his policies were great, and he was the bull in the China closet, some brilliant person, you know, this is what's great about the Internet. I know the Internet kind of sucks sometimes, but there's also great things about the Internet. What if Joe Biden and Donald Trump held a news conference together?
Before I took office, there was a lot of folks out there making some pretty bold predictions about how things would turn out. You might remember some of the predictions.
They're coming for your guns, they're coming for your jobs, and they're coming for your freedom. They hate American energy, and Joe Biden will shut it all down. He's going to.
That if I became president,
Biden's elected, he will wipe out your energy industry.
Another prediction that is my favorite one, I must add, is that if I got elected,
gas prices going $5, $6, $7 for a gallon. Flood your communities with criminal aliens, drugs, and crime while they live behind beautiful gated compounds. They try to take away your guns, Second Amendment, they want to take it away, while they enjoy private security that's fully armed.
I never understood that one.
To spend trillions of dollars rebuilding foreign nations, fighting foreign wars, and defending foreign borders.
So for all those predictions of doom and gloom 6 months in, here's where we stand.
Do you want to use the word recession or depression?
Think of the single mom struggling to put food on the table each month.
You know, it's sad.
So if your primary concern right now is inflation,
we could stop it in 30 minutes.
When I took office,
he finally went outside. He went to get an ice cream.
Look, the bottom line is this.
I say you're not doing a very good job because he can't take any questions now from the press.
And walked away in the video. That was pretty good, wasn't it? That's pretty good. So what's the answer to all of this? You know, it doesn't have to be this way. It fascinates me that in a day and age where there is so much information available to the average American, you and I have access to information that, you know, when I was going through law school and you had to do research, like legal research, you actually went to the law library. Or as we might call it, the law library. You went to the law library, and you sat down, and you had pen and paper, you had a legal pad, and you had an ink pen or a pencil, and then you would go and you would start. You would look at your assignment from your law professor, and you would go pull out law books, actual physical books that were big and heavy. And you'd start thumbing through trying to find the case, and then you'd find the case, and you'd write down the quotes. I mean, or if you were really good at that time, why am I aging myself, aren't I? I should shut up. Maybe I should, never mind. Maybe we should change topics real quickly. Now that I think about this, this is kind of embarrassing. Because some of us would actually take, and we would get into little cubicles, and we would have a typewriter. Yeah, we would take a electric typewriter. Remember those typewriters that had the little ball on it, the IBM Selectric? It had the little ball on it. It would just, you know, you typed, it would just hit. Damien's listening. My producer's listening to this right now, and he's going, what the hell is he talking about? The little typewriter, they were typewriters, Selectric typewriters. IBM put them out. And you'd type, and this little ball would print the words on the sheet of paper. You think about that when I was in law school. And you think about today, I'm sitting right here in this studio in Denver, Colorado, and I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 monitors in front of me, plus my iPad and my iPhone over here. I've got access to information out the wazoo. There's no reason for us to be an ignorant nation. There's no reason for us to be ignorant about economics, about the oil and gas industry, about why we have supply chain problems, about why food prices are going so high. But we do. We have a nation of ignoramuses that just don't get it. Why? Because we're lazy. I think that this country has become, we all, not all of us, but a lot of us have become dumb, fat, and lazy, and it's just easier to just not do anything. It's easier to consume the news by osmosis. You turn the radio on. You have something streaming. You got your iHeartRadio app going. You got whatever it is. Or you got the TV on in the background. Or you're driving around in your car and you actually have a radio on. You got some AirPods on or whatever it might be. And we're just consuming news by osmosis. We're not really paying attention. We know things suck. We know things are bad. We know it's not working out right now. But does anybody understand why? Well, the why is because we've elected a president. Forget about his dementia or his cognitive decline. Forget about all of that. The people who are really running the White House right now, the staff, the old staffers from the Obama regime, this is the third term of Obama, they're making all the decisions. And what we're seeing is that if you want to see what a socialist or, you know, whatever Marxist, fascist, whatever kind of ist you want to use, communist, whatever, this is how it starts. And you start by destroying what is the most important industry to our economy, and that's oil and gas. Every single thing. You know, in Colorado, most of our electricity is produced by natural gas. Well, because they're not producing enough natural gas, our electric rates are skyrocketing. They're talking about rolling blackouts, probably in your state too. But they refuse to look at nuclear as an option. Can't do that. Nuclear plants are evil. Really? The most efficient? Germany and France are all looking, going, well, crapola, I think we screwed up on that one. Maybe we ought to forget about the windmills and the solar panels. Maybe we ought to turn all those nuclear plants back on. Yeah, I think so. All of this is, and now, of course, the Federal Reserve is going to start increasing rate hikes. And I understand why. They're trying to pull all this money out of the economy. They're trying to slow down this inflationary spiral. I get all of that. Don't necessarily agree that they're going to be able to accomplish it, but I understand why they're doing it. So I would really encourage you. I try to encourage every time I have the opportunity. I always take at least one segment to talk about how it is important to really understand and find differing sources of news. You know, one of the things that you have to do as a lawyer is you have to understand where the other side is coming from. You have to understand what legal arguments they're going to make, and you have to look at those and figure out what your rebuttal is to those from a legal point of view, because you have to convince a jury or a judge that you're right and they're wrong. And you can't do that if you don't know what they're going to argue. If you walk into a courtroom not having a clue what the other side's going to do, you're doing a disservice to your client. Well, I think we're doing a disservice to ourselves if we don't pay attention to other sources of news. If we don't take the time to be, as I lecture my poor audience all the time, all the goobers that listen to me in Denver, that we have to be discerning consumers of news. Only by being discerning consumers of news can we be more effective as we march straight into this election season, which is now upon us. It's the weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Mike to 57739, Mike to 57739. Email me, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. More sound when we get back.
Every 3 seconds, there's a new victim of identity theft. A criminal could be spending your money, applying for loans in your name, or even selling your personal info on the dark web. Everyday activities like online shopping, banking, and even data breaches may expose your information, making it dangerously easy to have your identity stolen. Unfortunately, watching your accounts or monitoring your credit may not be enough. but protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock, a leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock monitors threats to your identity, and if an issue is detected, sends you an alert. And if you are a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, to save 25% off.
Welcome to the weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Text the word Mike 57739. Mike 57739. I always get a kick out of this because I don't know whether it's my slightly tinge of a southern accent, but I do not say nuclear. I say nuclear. Nuclear. It's nuclear. Nuclear energy. Maybe when I say it fast, nuclear, it sounds like nuclear, but it's not nuclear. It's nuclear. I just want to make sure that the listener in 605 understands that I understand the difference. I'm not my old boss, George Bush, that never could say nuclear. There's always nuclear, nuclear, nuclear. Yeah, we got it. But you know who else I have fun listening to? Guess who's back in the news? Dr. Fauci. Yeah. You think that Dr. Fauci is ever going to go away? I don't think so. You're the highest paid bureaucrat in the federal government. You've been there for, I don't know, decades. And you're making millions of dollars off royalties from the pharmaceutical companies, the very companies that you regulate and give grants to. It's a great system. Isn't it great? Don't you wish you had a job like that? Imagine you at your work, whatever your work is, that you, this would be like working in a third world country or some, you know, corrupt country. Well, maybe here, now that I think about it. So here's what Fauci does. And this is true for a lot of people that work for the FDA and for the NIH. They regulate. This is why we are truly kind of controlled by an administrative state, that the special interests control the government and the government controls them. It's a symbiotic, almost like, you know, domestic violence, you know, a spousal abuse spouse relationship. Because here's how it really works. And this is true for a lot of research that goes on at grant universities around the country. Somebody decides that they want a research hospital, for example, right here in Colorado, or in your state, wherever it might be, to do research to find out if the sexual habits of raccoons are affected by their use of Diet Coke. You know, just something insane. And so they come up with a grant proposal. The researchers at the hospital do. We want to study this grant. So they go to the FDA, for example. They might go to the National Institutes of Health, the NIH. And NIH will say, that sounds like an interesting proposition. Nobody's ever done that before. Why don't we give you a grant for $5 million to do that? And so they start studying the sexual habits of raccoons. They've got a $5 million grant. It goes to pay for salaries. Of course, you've got to buy some raccoons somewhere. Or you just go to, I don't know, you go to the hills of Tennessee and just, you know, people in Tennessee are going to be pissed off now. You just go to the hills of Tennessee and just say, hey, why don't you guys just capture some raccoons and we're going to study their sexual habits. And we'll pay you $1,000 per raccoon. See, everybody makes money on this. Everybody makes some money on it. So then they do the research. Now, the NIH wants the research to show, because they don't like Diet Coke, they want the research to show that Diet Coke affects the sexual habits of the raccoons. So indeed, guess what? Voila, that's what the research shows. Now, in the case of Dr. Fauci, here's how it works with him. You see, you can't get this gig. You're just, you know, you and I are just peons. We can't get these kind of gigs. So the gig is, you regulate the pharmaceutical companies. You say to Moderna or Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson, hey guys, we got this really bizarre disease that's coming out of this, well, we're not going to say it's coming out of a lab, but it's coming out of a lab in Wuhan, China. And we're going to pay you to come up with a vaccine. And indeed they do. Well, guess what happened? That's next. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Mike to 57739. Hang on, I'll be right back.
Elder, and I want to talk to you about 100% drug-free relief factor. I've been telling you about it for years on radio and television. Why? Because I believe in it. I use it. My friends use it. And hundreds of thousands of others out there have tried it. About 70% of those people go on to order more. They find that relief factor works to help their bodies fight inflammation and eliminate their pain. Take Mark in Texas, for example. He'd been dealing with pain in his right shoulder for months, almost constantly, when he decided to give Relief Factor a try. Within 2 weeks of taking it every day, the pain in his shoulder faded away and completely disappeared. There are so many people out there whose experiences with Relief Factor are just like Mark's. What about you? Might your pain be the next to go away with Relief Factor? Your first step to becoming pain-free just might be to order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Just go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.
Stumbled into the weekend with Michael Brown, and I apologize deeply because I just apologize. You can text the word Mike to 57739, text the word Mike to 57739, email me at michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. And we're talking about how these things really work in Washington when it comes to these regulatory agencies. And I know this really isn't funny. It's irritating. And sometimes irritating can be funny when you think about how absurd that it is. So Dr. Fauci, for example, is the head of the NIH, actually is head of the NIAID, the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the NIAID, which is a subset of the NIH, the National Institute of Health. You see, you got to have a gigantic, you got to have a big-ass organizational chart to understand this. So what he does is he finds that, oh my gosh, we have this virus that's coming, maybe from a lab, out of China. And so once it starts to spread, he turns to the pharmaceutical companies and he says, we need a vaccine. So we're going to pay you because this is one of the fatal mistakes. Look, we can argue about whether the vaccines are effective or not effective, but apparently they're not very effective because Dr. Fauci, who has had every vaccine possible and every booster possible, still got the COVID. Now, I think the vaccines are effective only in this regard. They keep you out of the hospital. They don't make you deathly ill. Well, actually, they do kill some people, but they keep you from getting deathly ill most of the time. Well, in other words, they don't really work at all, but beside the point. So, and I, by the way, I'm not anti-vax. I've had both. I got two shots of Moderna in me. I can prove it right here. I got them. So Dr. Fauci goes to Moderna, J&J, and Pfizer and says, we need to develop a vaccine. And because the government wants you to develop this, we're going to pay you to do so. That, when you think about a company, a publicly traded company like Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson, they just suddenly got an infusion of cash that didn't cost them a dime. They didn't have to go borrow it from an investment bank. They didn't have to go anywhere. They got it from you and me. Actually, they got it from our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, because we had to borrow the money to pay them. So they get paid to develop the vaccine. Then when they develop the vaccine, then the government says, oh, hallelujah, now we're going to pay you to distribute that vaccine, and I'm using air quotes here, for free. Well, the pharmaceutical companies are like, well, we don't do anything for free. And the government says, we know, we're going to pay you for it. So the government, meaning you and me, paid for all of those vaccines. And the profits of the pharmaceutical, look, I'm not anti-pharmaceutical company. I love the modern miracle pharmaceutical companies. What I hate is this kind of incestuous relationship. Oh, incestuous? You know what that means? Look it up. It is an incestuous relationship. And so now they're paid to develop the vaccines. They're paid to distribute the vaccines and at no cost to them. So they haven't invested any capital whatsoever because they got the grants to develop the vaccines. Then they get the money to distribute the vaccines. And then guess what else happens? This is what nobody talks about. Somebody gets a royalty for the development of that vaccine. And guess who's gotten those royalties? Now, before I tell you that, let me tell you what Dr. Fauci told a Senate committee with regard to the problem we have with COVID. COVID is endemic. I've used too many big words today. Incestuous and endemic. Go look up the word endemic. It means that it's just always going to be there. It's just there. Like influenza, it's there. It's always going to be there. And now COVID is another endemic disease. It's always going to be there. Absent, maybe 5 years or 10 years they come up with a cure, but we haven't come up with a cure for influenza yet, so I don't know whether we'll come up with a cure for COVID, but that remains to be seen. But instead, here's how these government agencies work. Because COVID, if you took basic biology in high school, you know that viruses mutate. And they go to a host, and the host rejects them, so they mutate and try to find another host that they can live in and stick to, and they don't, and they mutate, so they continue to mutate and mutate. Well, guess what? That's good for people like Dr. Fauci because...
As you know, the role of the NIH is to do the basic clinical and translational research to develop the countermeasures that we have so successfully been part of that process to get us the vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics. As you mentioned in your opening statement, this virus is changing, and we need to keep up with it. In order to do that, We've got to do better with new vaccine platforms, such as nanoparticle vaccines. We cannot proceed with that unless we get additional funding.
Boom! And there you go. Well, he was talking to Senator Patty Murray of Washington. Well, Senator, you know, we've got all of these viruses out there. They're mutating. They're just everywhere. They're just crawling around in people's noses and mouths and on their fingers. And they're just crawling everywhere, and they're mutating. It's just like, oh, my God, it's just like it's the end of civilization. So we need more money. If you'll just give us more money, we can fix this. It's never going to be fixed. It's an endless cycle. So Congress will give more money. Republicans and Democrats alike will give him more money, and then he'll be back in another year asking for more money to do more research. And there is your civics lesson for the day. That's how it works. And I know it drives you nuts, but part of my job is to tell you the truth about how it works, so it'll drive you nuts. Now, if you think I've been, you know, making up stories about, you know, the boosters and how, you know, they're not really working, Senator Rand Paul talks about that, too.
Dr. Fauci, the government recommends everybody take a booster over age 5. Are you aware of any studies that show reduction in hospitalization or death for children who take a booster?
Right now, there's not enough data that has been accumulated, Senator Paul, to indicate that that's the case.
See, this is a great bureaucratic answer. Are you aware of any studies? Well, you know, if somebody asked me, hey, Michael, are you familiar with any studies that show that the sexual proclivities of raccoons are affected by Diet Coke? Well, the answer would be no. The answer is no, I don't. But Dr. Fauci can't answer that. Well, we don't have enough data to show this or to show that. Well, so the answer is no, right? The answer is no.
I believe that the recommendation that was made was based on the assumption that if you look at the morbidity and mortality of children within each of the age groups, you know, 0 to 5, 5 to 11.
Right. So there are no studies, and Americans should all know this. There are no studies on children showing a reduction in hospitalization or death with taking a booster.
This is why people hate Dr. Paul, Dr. Senator Rand Paul, because he talks about this stuff. And it drives the media and the bureaucrats nuts. They also talked about the royalties.
1,800 NIH employees. We know that, not because you told us, but because we forced you to tell us through the Freedom of Information Act. Over
1,800 employees got royalties.
When critics finally complained, it was finally included because there was no health benefit from taking a booster between the 18 to 49 and the CDC study. Another question for you. The NIH continues to refuse to voluntarily divulge the names of scientists who receive royalties and from which companies. Over the period of time from 2010 to 2016, 27,000 royalty payments were paid to 1,800 NIH employees. We know that, not because you told us, but because we forced you to tell us through the Freedom of Information Act. Over $193 million was given to these 1,800 employees.
See, all I want you to do is to think about your personal situation. If you work in a business, do you get royalties from the people that, you know, maybe you sell to? Well, that probably might be illegal, might be considered a bribe. But think about royalties. Usually a royalty, I mean, think about a singer-songwriter. So a singer-songwriter gets royalties, you know, like iHeart and Premier, you know, we pay licensing fees to play music, and then they get royalties from us playing those songs. Because that's their intellectual property. But they are the creators. The NIH employees are not the creators. Now, they might be considered to be objective and fair. They might be considered to be co-creators because they helped, you know, well, they helped write the grant, and then they gave away the grant, and then they might have done a little studying on their own. But then once the pharmaceutical companies step in and they actually start making money from the product or service, whatever it might be, they were paid $193 million in royalties. Do you see why Washington, D.C. is so different from the world, the real world that you and I live in?
27,000 royalty payments were paid to 1,800 NIH employees. We know that not because you told us, but because we forced you to tell us through the Freedom of Information Act. Over $193 million was given to these 1,800 employees. Can you tell me that you have not received a royalty from any entity that you ever oversaw the distribution of money in research grants?
Well, first of all, let's talk about...
You know, I pretty much know. Do you know where you get your money from? Do you? I mean, do you get a paycheck? Do you get money anywhere else? My guess is that you and I know exactly where our money comes from. And if I were getting royalty payments, like, for example, you know, in radio, we have what are called sponsors. Sponsors, you know, sponsor my radio program. And if I do a commercial for that sponsor, they pay me to do that commercial. And I know that I get money for that. Fully disclosed. It's all, you know, compliant with the FCC. So I know where all of my money comes from. I don't wake up one day, although I wish I would, wake up one day and look at my checking account. No, there's $5 million there. Huh, I wonder where that came from. Well, I don't care. $5 million. Fauci doesn't know.
That's the question. No, that's the question. Have you ever received a royalty payment from a company that you later oversaw money going to that company?
It's a great question. Have you ever received a royalty payment from a company that later you oversaw or regulated that company? Seems to be a pretty straightforward question, isn't it?
You know, I don't know as a fact, but I doubt it.
Well, here's the thing is, why don't you let us know?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, I make so much money as a bureaucrat that I really don't know where my money comes from. I don't know. Well, why don't you tell us? Because you are a public servant. You know, one of the things that I think people don't realize about public service, for example, I had to, you know, because of my clearances, well, not only because of my clearances, the highest level of clearances you can have in the federal government, I had every single one of them. And I had to fill out financial disclosure forms for the CIA and for the NSA and the Department of Energy and everybody else because they wanted to know what my finances were. Am I subject to bribes? Am I too high in debt? Am I subject to, you know, some Russian coming over and buying me off or whatever? Dr. Fauci has to file every year, if not more than that, where all of his money comes from. And whether you agree with this or not, that's a publicly available document, or at least it's supposed to be, so that you and I can have confidence in people like Dr. Fauci, that he knows where his money's coming from and whether or not he is actually taking money from the very companies that he regulates. And we don't seem to care about that.
Why don't you reveal how much you've gotten and from what entities? The NIH refused...
Why don't you just reveal how much money you've gotten and from which entities? Because we're paying a salary and we're paying the taxes that go to the grants that he administers, that he gives to those companies that then pay him a royalty. Hey, it's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Mike to 57739, Mike to 57739. Email me, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com, and more of this stupidity coming up next.
Every 3 seconds, there's a new victim of identity theft. A criminal could be spending your money, applying for loans in your name, or even selling your personal info on the dark web. Everyday activities like online shopping, banking, and even data breaches may expose your information, making it dangerously easy to have your identity stolen. Unfortunately, watching your accounts or monitoring your credit may not be enough. but protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock, a leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock monitors threats to your identity, and if an issue is detected, sends you an alert. And if you are a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, to save 25% off.
Before we get out of here today, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to The Weekend with Michael Brown. I sincerely appreciate it. You can text me, you know, if you hear the show later or you still have thoughts about it, you can text the word Mike to 57739. You can always email me, michaelbrown@iheartmedia.com. But I sincerely appreciate everybody listening. And I also want to say to everybody that, you know, Damien and I were just having a conversation. I'm not going to put words in Damien's mouth. But, you know, we are, you know, Monday is Juneteenth, and we are celebrating Juneteenth. And Damien and I were talking about, you know, why in particular Juneteenth. And it really is because on that day, that's when everyone finally knew that the Civil War was over and that blacks had been freed and that last vestige of unknowing was accomplished. And I think, if you wanted to sum it up in a simple concept, that's why Juneteenth was picked, as opposed to the surrender of General Lee, of Appomattox, so, you know, celebrating the end of the Civil War, Or a great point was made about celebrating the Emancipation Proclamation. Well, it didn't actually work because, well, we ended up fighting a civil war over it. So Juneteenth, from at least one individual's perspective, is that that is the day that finally every black person finally got the word that, oh, yes, free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last. And I think it's a, you know, this country, with all of the pimple on our butt of racism, that it really is, I think, incumbent upon all of us. So, you know, I heard today coming into the studio, I was listening to a music station, and they were celebrating Black Music Month. Okay, that's fine. But then they were playing, I think they were actually playing Sly and the Family Stone. And it made me stop because I never thought of Sly and the Family Stone. I mean, I knew they were black, but I didn't think of it as black music. And I wish we could all get to that stage where we see each other as, and I know this, maybe I know you're thinking I'm naive about this, but I don't think I'm naive, where we truly just look upon each other as human beings, as just individuals. Because I love the fact that everybody has a great story. Ask Danny about what he was doing this weekend. Well, that's between the two of us. But what he's doing this weekend is really normal, and it's family-oriented, and he's being a good father, and he's taking care of his kids, and they're going to have a great, I know they're going to have a great time. I'm doing the same thing. I'm driving, you know, we have a home down in New Mexico, and I'm driving down after the program today because my wife's down there with our grandson. They're going to take me out to dinner tomorrow evening. And we're going to go down there, we're going to celebrate, you know, Hispanic culture. It's just, I want us to be that melting pot that America really is. That I want us to be that country where we see each other as Americans. Because every single person, we all have something to offer. And each of us can make this country better if we would just stand up and do it. Hey, you've been listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. And I really do appreciate it. Everybody have a great Father's Day. Have a great Juneteenth. And I'll talk to you next weekend. Take care.
Larry Elder here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about 100% drug-free relief factor. You know, we all get a little bit older every day, and we all experience aches and pains. Many people even struggle just to get out of bed in the morning and face the world. If you're one of them, then you could be exactly the person Relief Factor was made to help. Let me tell you about Catherine in Pennsylvania. She had shoulder aches, and I mean the kind that were ruining her life. She decided to give Relief Factor a try because she'd heard so many of us on the radio singing its praises. And guess what? After only a few weeks, her pain was nearly gone. No side effects, just relief. Many of my friends and I take Relief Factor every single day. Hundreds of thousands of others have tried it, and about 70% have gone on to order more. Your first step to becoming pain-free just might be to order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.